Blog Talk Radio.
From the Blog Talk Radio studios in Union City, New Jersey, this is Talking to Hudson, and I am Fernando Uribe. I want to welcome you all here tonight, the 14th of June. Happy Flag Day, everyone, in the year 2017. Again, thank you for listening from wherever you are here in the good old U.S. of A. You can always write to the show's inbox, ladies and gentlemen, which is talkingtohudson@gmail.com. Once again, you can write to the show's inbox. I want to hear from you. talkingtohudson@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at @your_favorite_Fernando. And, of course, don't forget to follow me on Twitter at @theglorious_FUJ. Now, for all of you Facebook subscribers, please go to the official page for Talking to Hudson and like it, of course, and I ask you to tell your friends to do the same. Now, Talking to Hudson is brought to you by Olivella Restaurant. Now, for those of you who are not aware, Olivella Restaurant is a brand-new gem in Hudson County. It is indeed the best Italian food you'll taste anywhere. Now, Olivella Restaurant is located at 7709 Bergen Line Avenue in North Bergen, New Jersey. They're open for dinner 7 days a week, and with this beautiful weather that we have now each and every day, the outdoor eating area is available. So, folks, do me a favor. Stop by Olivella Restaurant. Call them ahead of time. Make sure that you have a reservation by calling 201-662-6110. Reservation hotline at Olivella Restaurant. Once again, 201-662-6110. Now tell them Fernando Uribe sent you, and I promise you, they'll definitely take care of you, all of your guests that stop by. I know it's kind of difficult to get summer ready. I know I'm trying to, as I'm trying to get ready for Vegas next month here. So, trying to get that summer body, but it's kind of hard when you go to Olivella, but trust me, it's so worth it. If you need to get a cheat meal in, trust me, there's no better place than Olivella Restaurant in North Bergen. Now check out their website by going to www.olivellanj.com. You can check out all their wonderful dishes there on full display. Of course, all their ingredients are fresh and made daily. Don't forget to like Olivella Restaurant on Facebook, and of course, follow them too on Instagram and Twitter. Now, I want to hear from you folks, so don't be shy and call me toll-free tonight at 657-383-0296. Once again, toll-free number tonight to call in, 657-383-0296, and our toll-free number is brought to you by Olivella Restaurant. Ladies and gentlemen, again, I'm glad to have you join me tonight here on Blog Talk Radio. And once again, happy Flag Day to everybody, and sort of a early happy Father's Day wish to all the dads out there this coming weekend. Again, get to celebrate with your dads. Hopefully, I'll be able to celebrate with my father and uncle this weekend. And next week, Yankee game with my dad and my uncle, sort of a yearly Uribe family tradition, to take the dads out for Father's Day, so get to watch some Yankee baseball, so looking forward to that. Again, happy early Father's Day to all the dads listening tonight here on Blog Talk Radio. Again, folks, toll-free number tonight to call in, 657-383-0296. Again, toll-free number brought to you by Olivella Restaurant. And now, as always, we start community. It's a powerful word, folks. It reminds us that we're all in this together, and that we deal with issues each and every day. Now, as a philanthropist, I know this firsthand. Now, doing for others when they cannot do for you is being selfless. It's having a heart. It's the essence of humanity. Now, when you're a community activist, for example, you're right there in the trenches. You're there with the people. And when you're working with the community, with people from all backgrounds and demographics, it's rewarding. It's as simple as that. It's a wonderful feeling knowing that you can make a difference. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, folks, again, as a philanthropist, as a very dedicated one at that, I know from just personal experience the impact it can have about working with others, volunteering your time to very worthy causes, whether it's nonprofit organizations such as the American Cancer Society, the March of Dimes, and other worthwhile causes, but it's also getting involved in your community, working at your local homeless shelter, at the same time working with disadvantaged children. You know, I remember a few years ago, I used to volunteer my time for Big Brothers Big Sisters, and that was a very rewarding experience. And I know many people do that as well. And again, you know, it's, you know, that feeling of fulfillment, it's something that money can't buy, folks, but the gratification stays with you. And it's not something that, you know, you get to sit there and always sort of like look back on, because it's not something that you can quantify in dollars and cents. And very much the same way I remain dedicated to philanthropy, I look at those that are community activists, those that are advocates for others, and, you know, really work hard in the community for very different causes. It's something that, you know what, you may not be able to sort of tangibly look at in a piece of paper, whether you're compensated or not. Normally that's not the case. But it's that feeling of fulfillment. It's that gratification we get. I can tell you firsthand, I felt that, whether it's volunteering for different causes. You know, when you're able to do for others that cannot do for themselves, that is the essence of community and service. And really, I mean, that's where when you think about it, that's where the word comes from. But it's something that it's extremely rewarding. And, you know, when you're volunteering and helping others, listen, it's something we should all strive for. And one of the things I learned some years ago when I was an undergraduate at Rutgers University in New Brunswick, whether it was at my fraternity or doing just community service, helping out on campus, the one thing I learned is that, you know, volunteering your time for very worthy causes doesn't normally take a lot of time. The summer already soon upon us. It's something that, you know what, yeah, we want to go down the shore, we want to get some sun, we want to go barbecue, we maybe want to go on a vacation, maybe we just want to sit back in our backyard and get some sun and smoke a cigar or have some lemonade or maybe, you know, spike the lemonade, whatever. The point is that, yes, when we think about the summer, we think about all these fun things that we're used to doing. But you know what? Add one more thing to the list, and that's volunteering, you know, making a difference in your community. And that's what you can do by being that sort of advocate. You know, if you dedicate a couple of hours every week, it's good for the soul. And listen, I don't want to sound preachy tonight, folks. I really don't. But it's something that's very important to me about understanding the essence of community. And trust me, it makes a difference. Whether you're donating your time to local kids, to seniors, to those who really need it most. It's just one of those activities that hopefully you can fit into your summer schedule because, again, it makes a huge difference. You may not see that right away. And, you know, one thing I've always sort of, you know, conveyed to my students every semester when I talk about community service and volunteering your time and civism and philanthropy is when you're doing your part to help others. And again, they can't compensate you. They can't, you know, reimburse you. You know what? That's not what you're doing it for. You're doing it to make a difference. And, you know, in just a few moments here, I'm going to be very happy to have a community activist on the show tonight to talk about something that's very worthwhile for him. But really, you know, when we think about what activism means for us, it means very, very different things to each person. But in the end, make no mistake about it, it's about making a difference. And one of the things that I take considerable pride in, and listen, you know, I was having this conversation with one of my best friends the other day, and she was asking me, you know, hey, you know, later on this summer, whether you're going to an awards dinner for your work with the March of Dimes or what you're doing with the American Cancer Society, you know, why do you keep doing it, Fernando? I mean, I know it doesn't consume a lot of your time, but why do you keep doing it? And very simply, I said, because it makes a difference. And maybe I don't get to see that difference right away, but I know it makes a difference. And when I get up in the mornings on a, you know, chilly Sunday morning to go do a walk for different causes, yeah, I'm tired and yeah, I'm sleepy and yes, I need my coffee. And you know what? Maybe I'm not in the best mood that early in the morning, but I know that wherever I'm going to make a difference. And that's something, again, that if you have the time to do this summer, ladies and gentlemen, I really urge you to do it. I really urge you to go out there and make a difference in your community. Again, volunteering your time with local children, whether it's volunteering your time with seniors, with the disabled, with other demographics within a township, do that. And I promise you, it's going to make a world of difference. And that's the real truth. Now, once again, folks, I can't say it enough here. Feel free to call in tonight, 657-383-0296, because I want to hear from you tonight about what's going on in Hudson County, what's on your mind. So, again, our toll-free number is brought to you by Alavella Restaurant in North Bergen. Again, it's 657-383-0296 to call in tonight on Talkin' the Hudson. And now joining me exclusively live here tonight on the broadcast is Jersey City Ward A community activist and chess player extraordinaire, the great drum roll. I wish I had a drum roll, unfortunately. Please join me tonight in welcoming, ladies and gentlemen, a great local community activist and someone that I've gotten to speak to a little bit and someone that I consider a worthwhile person, Mr. Bobby Stewart. Bobby, welcome to Talkin' the Hudson, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Great, great. I'm glad you came on today. I appreciate donating a few minutes of your time tonight to the program. I don't know how much you had a chance to listen to my opening monologue about the importance of activism and making a difference in your community, about volunteering your time for worthy causes, whether it's with children, whether it's with seniors or the disabled. I know that you're a very dedicated community activist, especially in Ward A in Jersey City. You know, for those of you listening tonight that aren't familiar, that's sort of like the Greenville section of Jersey City, which is Hudson County's largest city here in New Jersey. But, you know, Bobby, you know, when I think about activism and I think about the difference that we can make in the community, what drew you to activism?
Well, as a youngster, I saw a need to move things in the community, to help out where help is needed. And I had a passion for chess at a young age. I had a passion for photography at a young age. And I would volunteer my time to promote my talents because at that time there was no way of getting any type of funding. So I volunteered my services. And then I started getting a whole lot of notoriety, and then it just shot off from there.
Well, I'll say this, Bobby, and I know we talked off the air before the program tonight, and listen, you know, I grew up playing chess. My dad taught me chess at a very young age. It's a game that I know when I sit there and my mom watches us play, my mom sometimes is just like, I can't be bothered. This is too difficult. I'm going to go watch my novella, and I'm going to let you two go at it. And I can tell you for the longest time, and I know my dad listened to the broadcast, and I'm not trying to fill up his vanity or anything, but it took forever to beat my dad. I mean, it took me many, many years. I'm talking about, like, starting at the age of 10 when he taught me how to play. And I think well into my college years, like, I really never beat my dad until I was, like, sometime in my 20s. It was really frustrating. I mean, but it's a fun game, and I think that a lot of people don't understand not just about the strategy that's involved with playing chess, and, you know, being that it's a very enjoyable sport, but it's, you know, again, the critical thinking, being quick on your feet. I mean, these are skills that, quite frankly, you know, we need to teach our kids anyway. So I think
Absolutely.
Chess does a great job of instilling that at a young age, though. And I know that when we talked off the air, I know that you work with many inner city kids as it pertains to teaching them chess. And, you know, what's been the most gratifying, you know, element of that experience for you, Bobby?
Well, I've been teaching for over 20 years, and one of the gratifying experiences is to see a youngster who was a part of my chess program. Now they're an adult and a parent, and then they would enter their child into my program. So that's been really gratifying. And children, when you impact a child's heart, they don't forget. So when you see them as adults now, they have that smile on their face. They don't forget how you made them feel. So that's been very gratifying for me over my years.
Well, again, and we know that chess has been, you know, obviously a global game, a global sport. We've seen brilliant masterminds go at it over the years. I know you've been an aficionado of the sport.
Yes.
It's a as I mentioned to you, when my dad taught me chess, listen, I mean, he taught it at a very young age. I'm 10 years old. And, you know, when you're 10 years old, you want to play video games. You want to be outside, maybe tossing the football or tossing the softball around and just being a kid.
Correct.
And but something that, you know, I remember my dad at a young age just teaching me, like, listen, this is a really fun game. Trust me, it works your mind. It's an exercise of your brain. And I didn't, you know, listen, when you're 10 years old, you don't think about these things. But as I got older, I learned to appreciate that more. And now, you know, I mean, I know my dad's going to be really ticked off when he hears this, but now, you know, I kind of beat my dad regularly. So it's like, you know, it's kind of like I'm vindicated after years of being defeated by my dad, you know, but it's still a challenge with him. So, you know, I know off the air we talked about, I'm looking, you know, as a big pro wrestling fan, you know, I'm going to sort of extend the challenge to you at some point. I got to face you sometime, Bobby, and see what you got. Are you ready for that, Bobby? I mean, I'm ready.
Bring it, Fernando. Anytime you're ready,
okay.
Buddy.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, Bobby, again, you know, it's not just about working with kids. I know that you also work with other populations, though, in terms of what chess means, though. And if you could tell our audience a little bit more about sort of the impact that you've had on the lives of not just kids in terms of teaching them chess and spending quality time with them, but what other populations have you worked with as well locally?
Well, I also provide chess instruction for the Hudson County Correctional Facility. For over 10 years now, we've been providing chess instruction there. And it's an unbelievable experience to go from the schools teaching children and then you go into the prisons to teach the adults. And my first day into the county, the inmates didn't know how to take me. And you have to have really, really strong, a strong will to go inside because you don't know how they're going to treat you and things of that nature. So I went in there. They all looking at me sideways, and they couldn't understand what was going on. So I put down a chess board, and then it was a scene out of a movie. They all gathered around. You can look up, and they have the second tier, and you have guys looking down. And then I took on all comers, and they would unleash a whole lot of profanities, you know, in a competitive way, saying, you know, well, my name inside the prison is Bobby Chess, and that's what they call me. And it was fun. So then we have a system where if they win two games in a row, then they can keep the board. And they never won. And it was really exciting, and they absolutely loved it. They thanked me for coming in there, and we've been doing it for 10 years now.
Well, listen, I'm a very competitive person, so I can appreciate that competitive spirit, and I know you have it too, because, you know, chess is one of those type of games that, again, it gets your mind thinking the entire time. It's pretty much almost like life. I mean, you always have to try to stay, like, you know, two or three moves ahead of everybody else when it comes to
That's right.
You know, what you're trying to do, if you're trying to make moves in life, never mind on the chess. You've been doing this for 10 years at Kearney, at the Hudson County Correctional Facility. Have you ever had any real problems with inmates? I mean, aside from just the fact that, you know, walking into a county jail is, listen, it can be unsettling. I've done it. I used to work in the criminal justice system for many years before I got into academia. So I've been inside many jails, you know, Hudson County, I've been in Essex County, and, you know, sometimes dealing with inmates isn't all it's cracked up to be. And when you you've been doing it for 10 years, so you're probably desensitized, but in the beginning, though, what was, you know, did you have any apprehension? Did you feel extremely nervous? Did you ever have to feel that you needed guards nearby? I mean, how did you feel, again, early on in that process?
Not at all. I'm very confident. And when you know your craft, then you're going to walk with a big stick. You're going to walk with your head up held high. So when I walked in there, I knew what I was bringing to the table. I didn't quite know what to expect at the time, but I look at it as being on a stage, and they are my audience, and that's what it was like. So when I put it down there, they just follow suit, and we shook hands before and after. Yes, like I said, you know, some people would say negative names. They would call me negative names and things of that nature, but other than that, it wasn't any type of violence or any type of threats or things of that nature. They would joke and call me names and stuff like that, but that's life. But other than that, they really enjoyed it. And at the same time, the inmates, they didn't realize what was going on. They was learning. I was teaching while I was teaching and entertaining at the same time, okay? They was learning that there's a solution for every problem, okay? They learned how to focus their energy. They learned how to think things through, how to plan, how to recover. These are all the things that they learned through chess, and they didn't even realize it at the time, okay? And then I even bought them, you know, puzzles and things of that nature because they wanted to improve their game. So it's really, really exciting experience.
Well, you know, Bobby, as an instructor in higher education myself, you know, I can completely empathize with the entire narrative you just gave me right now about trying to get them simulated, about trying to get them interested in material or subject that normally they wouldn't, you know? So,
yeah.
So I completely understand that component of it. And, you know, listen, I applaud you, and I'm sure our listeners tonight are doing the same thing at home. And again, folks, tonight, you know, if you want to call in and talk to Bobby, this great local community activist, again, call in toll free tonight, 657-383-0296, toll free number, once again, brought to you by Olivella Restaurant in North Bergen. Now, Bobby, let's switch gears a little bit here, because I know that I could talk about chess for hours, but I also want to talk about your role as a community activist. You are a resident in Ward A. For those of listening tonight that aren't familiar with Ward A in Jersey City, and again, for my listeners in Hudson County, I mean, that's predominantly the Greenville section of Jersey City. And for a lot of residents in Jersey City, that's one of the more impoverished areas of the city. And it's also, I mean, let's be very fair. I'm not saying this to be negative or to demean, but it's also one of the more dangerous areas of Jersey City as well.
Yes.
You know, as a community activist, though, what has been your experience, though, with talking to residents? And really, you know, what have you focused on as an activist in that specific ward?
Well, I use my chess organization, Kings Knight Chess Club Incorporated, as well as my passion for photography to impact the community. So,
Bobby, I'm sorry to cut you off. Could you tell our listeners tonight a little bit more about your nonprofit, because maybe they're not aware of it, and maybe a link or any information about it, because I'm sure they want to learn about it.
Yes, Kings Knight Chess Club Incorporated was founded in 2002, and we provide chess to include public, private charter schools. We partner with Hudson County Correctional Facilities. We partner with McDonald's in Jersey City as well as in Bayonne. And we have other programs at the Bethune Center in Jersey City. And we've been doing this for a number of years, and we've, you know, we're a staple in the community, and we're always looking for ways to expand our program. And that's what we've been doing. So as a photographer, I've had a number of relationships with mayors, senators, congressmen, shooting for them. And I met so many people through the photography, whereas I wouldn't have met them through chess. So I realized that. And I even had a complex at one point, whereas I said, wow, people know me more so for photography than chess, but then that's okay. And I put them together, and this is how I impact. So we have a number of partnerships in Jersey City, like the Hudson Mall. We do special events down there. And soon we're going to launch our actual first chess game show at the Hibachi at Route 440. So we're excited about that. So we're working on a number of exciting projects, and we're always going. I mean, every year we try to do something better. We try to add on programs and impact individuals.
Well, that's really commendable, and I have to tell you that, you know, listening to you in terms of this work is really admirable. And, again, you know, we all, you know, for many of our listeners tonight, especially those in Jersey City listening, we know that Ward A is a very challenging ward.
Yes, it is.
Again, you know, one of the more impoverished areas of Jersey City, certainly one of the more dangerous areas. Of course, I know Jersey City Police face that challenge of patrolling that area on a nightly basis, and it's been very problematic, as we know.
Yes, it is.
You know, again, you know, as a resident, as a taxpayer, there, what would you, again, and you know, part of the element of talking to Hudson, of course, is talking about political things, but not always. But, you know, as a resident, though, what concerns you the most about what's being neglected in Ward A, though?
Well, there's a slew of things that we can talk about, from lack of jobs, the crime rate, and the representation of Ward A as a whole. As far as I'm concerned, the past several years, there has been no representation as far as Ward A is concerned. So that's a problem. And then lack of recreational outlets in Ward A as well. So you put all those things together, and it's problematic because of the cost of living always going up, and there's not enough jobs, and people are struggling, and it doesn't seem, well, I'm not going to say it doesn't seem, there's not enough help. We need help for our youth and our seniors. So that's been some of the problems that's been standing out, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, again, and we know that, you know, 2017 is a election year. We have a mayoral race in Jersey City. Again, I don't want to put you on the spot too much politically. I know because I want to focus on that. But you know, Bobby, when you think about the mayoral race coming up in Jersey City, it's going to become very contentious. It's going to get ugly, probably, as any election in Hudson County gets after a while. You mentioned a good point about Ward A being neglected. As an activist, though, what have you, what's sort of been easy for you to do in terms of reaching out to local elected officials, and what's been difficult for you when it comes to that?
As an activist, I don't use my activism in that light, whereas I know majority of all of the public officials. I provide service. I'm an action guy. I don't talk the talk and complain and seek help in that way. I just provide services. And I try to expand, well, not try, I do expand every year throughout the city, not just Ward A. Okay, but as far as being at City Hall, making my voice known, I don't use my energy in that light.
Okay. Again, and it was important for me to sort of point that out because I wanted to make sure that you gave me that clarity. Because, when we think of the term community activist, it's a very loaded word. Let's be very honest. It's a very loaded word. It's a word that, for the most part, it means different things to different people. So I'm glad that at least you clarified that on your end, though. When we see what's been going on in Ward A and the difference you've been making with kids, has that also translated as well into adults in that area? Like, what's the feedback been concerning you and the impact you're having on the community?
Well, the demographics is mostly African-American. And let's just face it, Fernando. I mean, there's a division in Jersey City and in African-American community. And it's been that way for as long as I can remember. So it's all about cliques right now. I mean, you have a group over here, a group over there, and it's not united. And the only way you're going to make a difference is unless you unite. And it has not happened. How can we change it? It may be a number of ways that you can or suggestions, but it's just not happening now. And frankly, I can't see it happening anytime soon. You just look at the voter turnout. So that's the situation at hand, and we just have to continue educating ourselves. Even if we have to educate the youth, and when they grow up, they can be better armed with the education to know how to unite their community.
Well, that's a great point, and I'm glad you brought that up because, again, as an educator at the collegiate level, certainly I'm an advocate for education, and you're right, it has to start early. It has to start early with kids. It has to start early with helping our kids understand the way that not just government works, but the way that a community functions and that, what's the most harmonious way to have a community, behaving and what's going to work, what's not going to work. And, now how long have you been a Jersey City resident? Are you a lifelong Jersey City resident?
All my life, yes.
Oh, okay. Inward, in that area? Okay. And,
yes.
Again, this is sort of asked this question, not to be too personal, but what's been some of the strides you've seen in Jersey City in that, in that section of the city? And what's been, we all know what the drawbacks have been. We all know what some of the shortcomings have been. But what doesn't get talked about, I think, enough is the strides or sort of the advancements. What have you seen as a lifelong Jersey City resident there?
You're talking about Ward A?
Yes, sir.
Or
yes.
Overall?
Well, Ward A. We can sort of dissect Jersey City, and we know the wards that have seen more improvement than others. I think we both know that. But in Ward A, though, what have you seen specifically as any strides or advancements that have materialized for you?
Well, I've seen block associations be more active. You have the Greenville group there. It wasn't there that long, but you have another group there. So they're gathering around, they're strategizing, and everybody's trying to build a plan. So I see that as an improvement. But other than that, we do have a few parks, the Fulton Avenue Park, not the Fulton Avenue Park, but Muhammad Ali Park that was redone. And other than that, I can't see any other improvements. And I'm only one person, so.
Oh, no, of course, yeah. I mean, of course, I mean, you know, certainly I'm sure – I haven't taken a poll of Ward A residents. I'm sure I'll come up with different answers. You know, one of the things I talked about on a previous episode here of Talking Hudson was – and this is sort of like minute, but being someone that, like, enjoys, you know, commercialism and seeing new businesses, I'm not sure if you've seen it in the news recently that a Wawa is being considered right on the Greenville border of Jersey City and then across from Bayonne. And I think that'd be great for residents, obviously, you know, in terms of, you know, what that represents, you know, a local small business, a new chain coming in, maybe new jobs. Maybe that's something that'll be great
exactly.
for residents to go and shop at. And that's great. I mean, listen, I went to college in Central Jersey, that was my first experience with Wawa when I went to Rutgers. So the fact that Wawa is moving north and their coffee is pretty good, actually. I don't know if you've had their coffee. It's actually pretty competitive with, you know, Quick
no,
Trip
I haven't.
And 7-Eleven. So. Oh, it's really great. And, you know, certainly that type of business, I think, would be beneficial to residents there. But, you know, another thing I sort of want to ask you, again, as a community activist, though, when you share that title with people and you tell them about the importance of activism within the community itself, whether it's in Ward A, when you've gone to schools within the ward, again, when you've gone to, let's say, other events or functions – what's been the feedback towards you? I mean, I can imagine it's pretty positive. I mean, you sound like a very positive guy. You're doing great things in the community. What has been the overall feedback in terms of when you come out and describe yourself as an activist and that you're working with the community? Again, as I mentioned to you before, you know, there are always trigger words lately in our society, whether it's social justice or community activism or community organizer. You know, these are trigger words that sometimes don't always elicit the same response in people. What's been your experience in terms of interacting
well,
with others?
That's a great question, Fernando. Most of the time when you provide service, everybody wants to feel appreciated. And as I tell people, like when I photograph their events, things of that nature, I tell them, I'm not a photographer. I hate that word photographer. I say, call me a celebrity photographer because that's who I am. Why? Because I celebrate Fernando. I celebrate whoever's giving that function, whoever's 60th birthday party, whoever's political function it is. I document it. So by me doing that, I'm taking pictures of all these people and I'm celebrating you because then I put it out. I put it on Facebook, Instagram, whatever. So no, you don't get the thank yous and things of that nature. You get some, but over the years, for instance, there was a box that popped up on my Facebook today, and it said there's 345,000 people who liked your pictures. And I was like, wow, if I got a dollar for everybody that liked my pictures, I'd be okay. So we're not appreciated. And I don't get the feedback as much, and it's okay because I get it through likes. It's not about money. It's about my passion. It's about service, and it's about promoting people's special events, be it political or birthday celebrations. So I don't get the feedback like I would have liked, but, again, I get it in a different form, which is people liking my pictures on Facebook and things of that nature. But many times, you're unappreciated.
It's interesting you bring up the term social media, and that has really, again, has exploded within, let's say, the last 10 years or so. And it's been interesting because, for example, individuals like yourself that enjoy the arts, you know, photography is an art. I know for many people that's hard to believe, but it is. It's an art. And those that are, you know, striving to be artistic and have their material photographed or filmed, social media has been a very powerful platform to get your material out. Very much the way I rely on social media to promote this show. And thankfully it's been progressing each and every week. So I'm thankful to my listeners, of course, you know, the amount of likes, the amount of shares. I mean, that matters. That traffic is important. You know, it's how we get our message out. It's how we convey our platform about what we're trying to, you know, convey to people from all backgrounds. And as a community activist, though, we've seen some of the great benefits of social media, about, you know, getting the message out. You know, it's indeed made the world smaller. But as we all know, there are some drawbacks to social media, though. And as a community activist, though, is there anything you can cite from your own experience that maybe has said, wow, you know, I love social media some days, but, man, there are some days that, oh, God, I could live without this.
Well, I'm sure most of us have seen people post so much personal stuff that it would come back to haunt them as far as losing their jobs and things of that nature. And sometimes people get just too personal. A social media expert once said, you shouldn't even put your family members on social media these days, pictures of them, that is. And you have to keep it. I mean, most people are not using social media for business. They're just using it for whatever. It's like a modern-day soap opera. So for me, it's strictly business and it's entertainment, because I'm entertaining people by posting pictures and videos of their special events and things of that nature. But you shouldn't get too personal. And you can Google all the warnings of what not to post on social media.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because many listeners out there, I'm sure, will say, you know, I know people that just don't listen to that protocol or that having that sort of decorum. And, you know, listen, I can completely agree with your premise about, you know, being cautious and judicious about what you post. I mean, for example, for me, you know, there was a time in my life where I was very political. I was very politically active, and I enjoyed posting articles. I enjoyed posting blogs and opinions, or sharing pictures about situations and stuff like that. And, you know, that subsided after a while. Like, that's for me, you know, social media for me now is just, you know, posting about my philanthropy, about my charity events that I'm very interested in promoting, in the organizations that I volunteer for. You know, I'm a big sports fan, so obviously, you know, I'll post about that and things of that nature. I think sometimes we sort of become guilty of just being not overzealous, but, you know, we're excited. You know, it's a birthday. It's a celebration of something. We won an award. We're out with family, and we want to just, you know, promote that. And the problem is that sometimes we don't know who's looking at the content. We don't know what's being done. And,
so
you know,
true.
The internet's a crazy place. It's amazing of what we can find when we Google ourselves. You know, I don't like to Google myself at all, because I'm just not vain like that. But we all know people that do that. And sometimes, you know, maybe that's, you know what, and sometimes that's a cautionary and instructional thing to do. Sometimes to know what's out there. What are people publishing? What are people writing about you when it comes to, let's say, my philanthropy or what I'm doing as an educator. You know, sometimes, you know, you get ratings as a professor, which is what I do, what I get, or how I engage in philanthropy. For you, though, Bobby, in terms of, you know, your community activism, your advocacy for the importance of chess and the difference it makes in not just children, but adults, whether it's those adults that you work with that are incarcerated, in Kearney at the Hudson County Correctional Facility, or adults you work with in general, have you, you know, what's been the most disheartening thing you've read about yourself or that's been brought to your attention?
Disheartening thing about myself?
Well, maybe it's been written about you. Maybe someone brought it to your attention. Maybe you just uncovered it on your own. I mean, has anything ever been published out there that's maybe been disheartening for you?
Well, Fernando, I'm proud to say that I haven't heard anything, read anything negative about my service, my character, and I'm proud of that. I prepare myself every day in regards to social media. I think before I move, before I post a picture, I make sure that it's appropriate and things of that nature. But as far as everything I do in the community, from chess to photography, if it's been said, then I didn't hear about it, and I surely didn't read about it. So I'm proud of that. I'm proud of my reputation and my character and how I represent myself in the Jersey City community.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Bobby. And again, you know what? As someone who's had to deal with those headaches sometimes, I'm envious of you. I'm glad you don't have to go through it. And that's a great thing. It's one less thing to worry about on a daily basis in terms of someone's, you know, someone's hating on you or someone just has something to say that isn't positive. So I'm glad you don't have to endure that. Just getting back to sort of the nonprofit you mentioned before when it comes to chess, though, could you kind of just tell our listeners again, is there a website that our listeners can go to learn more about this nonprofit that you're involved with?
Yes, King's Knight Chess. You can go to kkcinc.com. www.kkcinc.com. And you can read about all the things that we've done over the years.
Now, are you looking to maybe expand that beyond the county? Is it something maybe you want to sort of branch out statewide? Have you, let's say, approached others to do so? I mean, what's sort of the state of your nonprofit right now?
Well, my partner with McDonald's is Jessica Quintana, the Quintana family, and they have, I believe, 13 McDonald's. We service the one in Georgia City Extra Supermarket. And then we have the one, the McDonald's on 25th Street in Bayonne, owner Scott Lantini. And back to my partner, but we can expand 5 different areas in Georgia City, but it's hard finding good people. It's people, one, who know the game of chess, and two, who's going to have that dedication to be a team player. So that's been my hurdle over the years, and that's one way we would like to expand. But at the same time, we're at the Bethune Center on Mondays. I'm supported by special groups like the Georgia City Rotary Club, the Mason Civic League. They sponsor us at times. And we're even looking to go into Hoboken to provide services with them. So definitely expanding is definitely on our list. And we look to make new friends. Unfortunately, we can't impact everybody in Georgia City. We would love to impact recreation, housing. Housing, we had a contract with housing many years ago, and we serviced all the housing sites. But through mismanagement and things of that nature, those days are gone now. And recreation, we used to be with them. We're not with them anymore. So we look for other outlets to partner up. And this is how we've been moving for some time now.
Well, that leads me to my next question, because once you brought that up about the city in terms of the contract that you used to have, have you reached out to Mayor Fulop and City Hall? What's been the response, if any, when it comes to trying to maybe get more involvement from the city of Jersey City?
Okay, first of all, we are supported by the city. King's Knight is a part of the Healthy Cities and Counties grant, and it's been a year now. And we look to embark on more projects within that grant. So that's one input from the city, and I'm excited about that as well. And then the Bethune Center is part of the city. We provide instruction every Monday from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And still, we would love to impact the housing district, but, you know, there's problems all over the city. So, you know, we just go where there's possible funding and availability. But let me just say this, Fernando. To have a McDonald's where it can be a safe haven, and it is a safe haven, to not be supported by the general community is a shame. We provide services there. We feed the kids. And who does that? And again, we do it in Jersey City and Bayonne. We've been doing it for 5 years. And it's just maybe the demographics. I believe it's the demographics of where we're at, because if we was in the Heights, more families would come out and participate. And it's just, you know, one of the problems we've been having over the years.
Okay, fair enough. Now, I didn't want to put you on the spot here, sort of a basic question. You can choose not to answer it if you want, but you are a Jersey City resident. Coming up in November, you live in Ward A. Certainly, council seats are up. Mayor Fulop, are you a fan? Does he deserve another 4 years? What do you think?
You're asking me, am I a fan?
Well, are you a fan of the mayor, and do you think he deserves 4 more years?
I believe that we can do better. I believe that what's happening in Jersey City right now has to change in a drastic way as far as the African-American community is concerned. So I would give a thumbs up for re-election for Mayor Fulop.
Okay. Have you ever thought about seeking political office, though, Bobby? Again, I mean, you're a very visible, upstanding member of the community. Have you ever thought about political office? Has it ever intrigued you?
Well, I served as aide to Dr. Charles T. Epps, Jr., God bless him. I was his aide way back when, and I wore it with a badge of honor, and that gave me a sense of activism and to impact the community, and I was representing him. So I'm a people person. And the way I go about promoting King's Night and making impacts, I know I will be a great public official. And, okay.
All right. I mean, in a sense, have you thought about, I mean, I know that it's not too late to get involved in the council race. Have you been interested at all in running this year, or is it something maybe down the line that you'll give consideration to?
No, I believe that everyone has a season. It's not my season yet. I have some things that I need to accomplish.
Okay.
Exciting things as far as impacting the community, and I want to see that through before I even think about running for office. And another thing, Fernando, for me, you have to be passionate about it. You know, people use it in different ways. People start a community group for a year or two, then they use that to springboard themselves to political office. With me, it's all about the youth. It's all about the residents of Jersey City, and I put the work in, and I'm going to continue to put the work in. So that's my report card. So people need to wise up and look and say, hey, you know, recognize the people who are really doing the real work in the city, and then come out and vote. And that's been part of the problem. People don't come out to vote.
You know what? You're right about that. I think that the voter apathy is not just evident in Jersey City. I think it's something that's epidemic statewide or even, you know, countrywide, you know. So you're definitely right about that. Again, folks, tonight, if you want to call in, again, 657-383-0296. If you have something to say to the great Bobby Stewart, I'd love to have you on the air. So if you want to talk to Bobby and me on the air live, you can still call in. Bobby, a couple of things before I let you go, and I appreciate you being a gentleman tonight. You've been on with me for a while. Going back to sort of chess, what's been sort of the highest level of competition that you've pursued, and is there an end game for that in the sense of, you know, either going to national tournaments, international, you know, what's the expectation you've set for yourself in this?
When I learned the game of chess, I had low self-esteem. I didn't think I was good in anything. I was taught by a counselor at the old CYO in Georgia City, and 2 weeks after that, I was beating him. So that raised my confidence, my self-esteem, to a level that I was on fire. So I wanted to teach youth and have them receive what I received. So that's been my passion, teaching. I've entered a number of tournaments, not big tournaments, but my thing is to continue learning, because education is an ongoing process. Continue learning, continue being the best teacher that you can be. So that's not my goal as far as being a master. Should that happen someday? I'm expert level. Should it happen someday? Fine. But my goal is to save lives by promoting thinking, because so many drastic situations and killings happen because people with mental illness, things of that nature. They don't think right. And we need to, there's a saying in chess that if you learned the wrong way, if you was taught the wrong way, then you have to just scrap everything and learn all over again as if you never played. And that pertains to so many people in the way they think in society these days. So to answer your question, my goal is to teach, 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 and empower.
You know, Bobby, let me tell you, I love those words. I'm with you, brother. Again, as an educator, those are things that I strive for as well. I've been in higher education for some years now. And you're right. I mean, there's something rewarding about teaching, about shaping minds in a positive way. You're doing that with chess. I'm doing it, you know, within the social sciences. But together, we're making a difference. And I have to applaud you, man. I'll tell you right now, if I had the soundbite for applause, I would play it right now for you because I've been totally impressed with this interview today. I can tell you that I've been floored here in terms of how impressed I am with you, man, about what you're doing in the community. And,
thank you.
You know, again, and I appreciate it. No, listen, it's my pleasure to have you on the show. I'm privileged to have you on today. And I'm glad that you came on. Listen, you've been more than a gentleman being on with me for almost an hour. So I appreciate that. But, you know, I just want to wrap it up here with you today. I have a couple of news stories I want to dissect here in Hudson County. But one last thing before I let you go, though, Bobby. Again, if you could tell our listeners, once again, the website for the nonprofit, are there any social media links to it or any pages to it? If you could tell us real quick.
www.kkcinc.com.
Okay. Are there any social media pages? Is there a Facebook for it? Twitter?
Well, yeah,
Instagram,
Bobby Stewart on Facebook. Just look me up and you'll see a lot of pictures of so many events, be it chess to political events to birthday celebrations, you name it. And it's all about promoting and empowering the people.
Well, you know what, Bobby, again, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. I hope you had a fun time here on Talking to Hudson.
I did.
I hope you want to come back again.
Yeah,
you want to come back
next week, man.
You
know
what,
Fernando, you know,
yes.
I want your job, man. Maybe it should be the Fernando and Bobby Stewart show, you think? You know, because I'm pumped,
go on,
man. I mean, this is exciting.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, and I hope that I hope that you'll continue listening every Wednesday night. I mean, I take a lot of pride in making the show interesting and having good guests on. I mean, coming up next week on next Wednesday night live, we're going to have some representatives from the Hudson Pride Connection Center in Jersey City be on the show, and we're going to talk about the importance of LGBT issues and, you know, how the LGBT community in Hudson County is still struggling. So, you know, they're a great local nonprofit that works with the LGBT community. So we're going to have them on. And then 2 weeks from today, we're going to have State Senator Sandra Cunningham on the program. So we're going to get to talk to her a lot on the air. Yeah, exactly. So, listen, that's why you got to tune in every week, man. You got to tune in every week.
I will.
I'm talking
about
man. Listen, you got to share the page, tell people about it. And, listen, I have your number. Some point this summer, we have to grab a coffee. I'm bringing my board. I'm taking you on, brother. Okay, I'm gonna bring my board, and we're gonna go at it. Okay, Okay, well, listen, I'm a big pro wrestling fan, so I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna bring it. We might have to do a best 2 out of 3 falls because if I lose the opening game, I'm like, no, 2 out of 3, man. But
Fernando,
but Bobby,
you're
listen,
going down, man. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, listen, I might drop you like an elective. Don't sleep on me.
Okay.
Don't sleep
all
on
right.
me. We're going to find out. But again, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, again, I want to thank Mr. Bobby Stewart for coming on the program. Bobby, again, I applaud you for everything you're doing in the community. Keep up the good work. Stay safe in Ward A. And, again, you're just you're a great example of what it is for a resident, a taxpayer, to want to make a difference in the community. So, again, it's my pleasure
thank
to have you on tonight. I'm
thank
glad you came on, and I hope you come back on the program again soon, brother.
I definitely will. I got a lot more to talk about, man, okay?
All right. Well, listen, we'll talk more. And, again, I appreciate a few minutes of your valuable time tonight, Bobby. Again, folks, tonight, Bobby Stewart joining us here. Talking about Bobby, we'll talk to you soon, man.
Have a good night.
Have a good night, man. I'll talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, once again there, Bobby Stewart, a great community activist in Ward A in the Greenville section of Jersey City. Again, if you missed any part of tonight's broadcast, you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/talkonthehudson. A great guy. You know, I'm glad to have him on here tonight. And, again, I can't say enough about the good work that he does. So definitely check him out. I'll be posting the link to his nonprofit on the Facebook page for Talk on the Hudson, so make sure you definitely check it out later tonight. Folks, I did want to talk about a couple of issues here, a couple of local stories here in Hudson County. Again, if you want to call in tonight and opine about either Bobby Stewart and his presence in the community or anything about Hudson County, listen, call in, 657-383-0296. Again, toll-free number, 657-383-0296. I want to hear from you because, again, that's what Talk on the Hudson is indeed all about, talking about everything here in Hudson County. And folks, a big news story I wanted to cover this evening here, and one that really, you know, affects me because I live here in Union City and I'm surrounded by jitney buses, as all of our municipalities are here, whether it's north of me in West New York, Guttenberg, North Bergen, or moving south into Weehawken and even the Jersey City Heights, even all the way into Bayonne. A great bill that passed through the assembly this week here, and I'm very happy to talk about it here tonight. A great article by local journalist Ron Zittlinger from the Jersey Journal, a great article in this week's edition. And he talked about a bill that was inspired by the death of a Jersey City boy, would give counties more control over jitney bus operators. And that bill this week did pass through the state assembly in Trenton. Now, the legislation was sponsored by Assembly Democrats, Nicholas Chiaralotti, who again was on the program in previous weeks. Also, Assemblywoman Angela McKnight, both of them from the 31st Legislative District, which covers parts of the west side of Jersey City, the Greenville section of Jersey City, and also parts of and all of Bayonne. Also, Assemblyman John Wazowski, former gubernatorial candidate, and also Valerie Venery Huddle. Now, the owners of the jitney buses will be required to register the buses with and receive approval from each municipality in which that they operate in. Now, the bill was approved this week on the floor of the State Assembly in Trenton by a margin of 63-11, and a 3 abstained from the vote last week. And now, again, to become a law, the bill must be approved by the State Senate and consequently must be signed by Governor Christie. Now, for those who are not aware, it's a very noteworthy news story because the measure was introduced in the wake of the death of George Gonzalez, an 11-year-old Jersey City boy who was struck fatally by a jitney bus at the intersection of Kennedy Boulevard and Neptune Avenue. It happened last year on October the 14th. It was a tragic loss of 11-year-old George Gonzalez. And again, it was a reminder, according to Assemblyman Chiaralotti, quote, tragic loss of 11-year-old George Gonzalez was a sad reminder of how vital it is to regulate commuter buses and ensure that they serve the community safely. Also, he went on to say, quote, we need to empower local communities who are dealing with these public safety issues, and this legislation aims to give the power back to the municipalities. Now, as it stands right now, local city councils and township committees have no authority to regulate the jitney companies, which are indeed overseen by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. Now, Hudson County Freeholder Bill O'Day and U.S. Representative here in Hudson County, Ali Osiris, have said, quote, the jitney companies can register for interstate travel and then operate exclusively on local roads and avoid oversight. Assemblywoman McKnight, again, after the bill passed on the floor of the assembly, went on to say, quote, jitneys provide a valuable service in a number of communities, but we have to ensure that they are a safe mode of transportation. Giving local officials more authority in this regard will allow those who are familiar with how jitney routes affect overall traffic patterns to influence decisions and ultimately improve public safety. Now, a violation of the bill's provisions could carry a civil penalty of $1,000 for the first violation, $2,000 for a second violation, and $5,000 for a third and any subsequent violation thereafter. Again, the bill would augment accountability measures that were enacted in 2014 under Angeli's Law, which was named after an 8-month-old Angeli Paredes, who in 2013 was killed by a lamppost that was struck by a jitney driver who was using his cell phone. And I remember that accident very vividly. It took place in West New York right along Boulevard East. And folks, listen, I saw this article this week, and I wanted to talk about it on the air because, you know, as someone that relies on jitney buses, as thousands of us do here in Hudson County, to get to work, to just, you know, move around, go to Manhattan to either hang out, go to happy hour, go enjoy nightlife, go catch a Yankee or Met game, go catch a Liberty game at Madison Square Garden. You know, jitney buses are just an inevitable reality for us here in Hudson County. And listen, I know that a lot of people sometimes might say, well, we don't like the hand of big government sometimes overreaching. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm extremely glad to see this bill pass today, because for far too long we've seen these companies just operate with just reckless abandon, no accountability. And again, going back to 2013, to Angelique Paredes, I mean, I remember walking through Boulevard East. I remember hearing about that. I was doing local journalism at the time for Hudson County TV for my show, the Uribe Express. And I remember going to the scene, taking footage, and just, you know, seeing that lamppost on the street. And then, of course, seeing, you know, a body there. Obviously, you know, it was covered, but seeing, you know, an infant there that was tragically killed because the cell phone, because the jitney driver was just irresponsible and was on his cell phone. And of course, you know, we even seen what happened last year. You know, too often these incidents can be avoided. And what's happened is that for many years, these companies have just operated with sort of this immunity, and it has to stop. And listen, I applaud Assemblywoman McKnight and Assemblyman Chair Valodi, along with Assemblyman Winozewski and Assemblywoman Huddle, for really taking the initiative here. I mean, this is all, not just, listen, in Hudson County, but there are many municipalities, especially in Passaic County, in Essex County, that rely on these jitney buses. And listen, to say nothing of the fact that, you know, I'm a bit of a germaphobe, but when you go on these vans, I mean, aside from the fact that they're not always the most hygienic and the cleanest vehicles to ride in, but at the same time, these companies are being irresponsible. They're not cleaning them correctly. They're not performing proper maintenance. Listen, we've had some hot summer days recently. Now, today was a little bit cooler since temperatures were in the 70s. The last couple of days, we had temperatures in the mid to late 90s. And guess what? People taking these jitney buses, some of these buses don't have functional air conditioning. Some of them aren't operating according to, you know, regulation safety standards. And I'm glad that at least that these companies aren't going to take the initiative themselves. And guess what? Government's going to have to come down and do it for them. So we're going to find out exactly, as this bill has already passed through the state assembly. It's going to go to the state senate. I'm hoping that it will pass through there, and consequently, the Governor Christie will sign it. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, sometimes these bills are unpredictable. It seems like a very commonsensical piece of legislation. I would think that it's going to pass. So if you are concerned about it, for all of you listening tonight here in Hudson County or throughout the state of New Jersey, do me a favor. Contact your local state senator. Here in Hudson County, I plan on talking to State Senator Brian Stack here in the 33rd District where I live. I also plan on talking to State Senator Nicholas Sackle from the 32nd District, a little bit north of me. And in 2 weeks from today, as I mentioned earlier on the broadcast, I'm going to have State Senator Sandra Cunningham on the program from the 31st Legislative District. So I'm going to ask her in terms of updates about that bill, when it'll come to a vote on the state Senate floor. We're going to find out exactly, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks. So I'll certainly keep you posted. But again, you know, kudos and my hat's off right now, again, to those four assemblymen and assemblywomen. Again, Chair Valodi, McKnight from the 31st Legislative District, and of course, Assemblyman Winozewski, and also Assemblywoman Huddle, because this had to be done. This is something that has been a long time coming. And whether it was, you know, listen, I remember the outrage after what happened in 2013 with Angelique Paredes. It was a tragic incident. What happened last year was tragic. And you would think that, hey, it only takes one tragedy to get people off their ass and make noise and to write to the legislators and say, listen, enough is enough. We need to take a stand here. We need to take action. We need to have these companies and hold them to be accountable. And I'll tell you right now, again, I applaud and I can't say enough. And, you know, sometimes I'm not always the biggest fan of bills that sometimes go through the floor of the legislature in Trenton. You know, again, as I mentioned before in previous episodes, I'm not a fan of the gas tax that passed last year. I understand why it had to pass. But, you know, again, and, you know, hopefully we'll see the fruits of that labor eventually in terms of how it benefits the state. But this is one piece of legislation, folks, that is so commonsensical. Again, I applaud them for doing it. I'm hoping that in the next few weeks, before the legislative session ends for the summer, that the state Senate will vote on it, and consequently that Governor Christie, again, in the few months he has left here as governor of New Jersey, will sign it into law. Now, Am I skeptical about the municipalities running this effectively and competently? Sure, I think we're always skeptical of government, especially local government. But something this important cannot go disregarded. So, again, I can't say enough about how happy I am to see this piece of legislation pass through the State Assembly, hopefully as two more rounds to go, and we'll get better safety measures and, again, more accountability of these jitney bus companies, which I think, again, have operated with a lot of immunity for far too long. And hopefully, should this bill pass and be signed into law, that the municipalities are going to get on them and make sure that they operate these businesses safely, competently, and ethically. So we'll find out, again, in the coming weeks. So, again, big shout-out, again, to the assemblymen and women for passing this bill. Again, I can't say enough. And, again, great reporting by local journalist Ron Zitlinger from the Jersey Journal. Great article. Again, if you have a chance to read it, again, check out NJ.com. Just do a search of Hudson County, and I believe it was posted, as a matter of fact, yesterday. So do me a favor, if you haven't had a chance to read it today. It's a really, really informative article. And again, I'll provide any updates for you here on the show as it moves along in the legislative process in Trenton. So, well, folks, listen, it's, you know, what can you say? Time is up already. My God, you know, where does the hour go sometimes? It really does indeed fly by. So, again, I appreciate you tuning in today. And don't forget that every Wednesday night at 9 p.m., you can listen to the best commentary about everything Hudson County right here on your favorite podcast, Talking the Hudson. Now, again, if you missed any part of tonight's broadcast, you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Talking the Hudson from any PC, Mac, smartphone, or tablet. Now, if you have an issue or a topic that you want to hear about in the coming weeks here on the show, folks, to the show's inbox, which is talkonthehudson@gmail.com. Once again, talkonthehudson@gmail.com. Now, don't forget to like Talking the Hudson on Facebook. We've seen the amount of likes increase daily. And again, I appreciate all of your support for being a fan of the podcast. So whether it's on your morning commute, getting that daily workout in as we're trying to get summer ready, you're walking your dog, you're doing laundry for a lot of my students, maybe taking summer classes, hey, take a break from your homework, tune in, and you'll be happy that you did. And once again, folks, Talking the Hudson is brought to you by Alavella Restaurant. Again, it's a brand new gem in Hudson County, and it's indeed the best Italian food that you'll taste anywhere. Make sure you check them out. Alavella Restaurant is located at 7709 Bergen Line Avenue in North Bergen. They're open for dinner 7 days a week. So again, call them ahead of time and make a reservation. You don't want to show up there without a reservation. I do not suggest that. Trust me. 201-662-6110. Once again, reservation hotline at Alavella Restaurant, 201-662-6110. Tell them Fernando Uribe sent you, and they'll treat you very well. I guarantee it. Check out their website, ladies and gentlemen, www.olivellanj.com. Once again, www.olivellanj.com. You can check out all of their dishes there. Great menu that you can check out before you head out there to eat. Trust me, wonderful food made daily, and it's made fresh for you at Olivella Restaurant. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and, of course, follow them on Instagram and Twitter. Folks, I've said it every week, and I think by now you should know, if it's unbiased and unfiltered, it's Talk on the Hudson. Good night to the Greenville section of Jersey City. I'll see you here next week on Blog Talk Radio, and don't forget, let's keep on talking.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together. We're polishing up our act. If you've ever been held down before, I know you